Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
A self-proclaimed love religion led by two delusional narcissists has spent years exploiting people online, peddling fake spiritual authority, pushing coerced relationships, and cashing in on it all. And now, the feds have come knocking. This week's episode is Twin Flames Universe Update.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Well, we got a lot to get to in this podcast, but we got a lot going on in Texas we want to talk about right up top, if we may.
Yeah, it's a rough time around here, obviously, for like the entire state, but specifically Kerrville, Hunt County, those areas were hit with a huge, when I say like huge, I don't even think I can grasp how big of a storm and how much water was dumped in such a short period of time. But the Guadalupe River flooded, and unfortunately, a lot of children's camps are along that stretch where it flooded, and specifically Camp Mystic has been hit really hard, and so many of those little girls were from around this area, and it's just, it's a really sobering and somber time around this community, because yes. I just do not understand how a parent goes on after this, and for all that do and that have, you are the strongest people I know.
Yeah, God bless. Like you said, it's the whole community. It really feels like that everybody is either posting somebody they knew personally or families from their neighborhood or from their kids' schools. And so I think that type of pain, it radiates out, right? You know, if you don't personally know someone, you're hurting because they're, I told you yesterday, we were talking about like, it's like you're not quite in their shoes, but your shoes are sitting next to theirs at the door. Like it's like very similar circumstances. And, you know, folks we went to school with, their kids out there and whatnot. So yeah, it was 11 inches in under 3 hours, and it caused a river to surge about 30 feet in just 45 minutes. So 109 people have been reported dead as of today, July 8th. 27 of those were campers or counselors from Camp Mystic and Hunt. There's been some rescues. I think the conservative estimate is about 800 people have been rescued. And now 5 days in, the rescues are still ongoing. Mm-hmm. They're down there. A big story was U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Scott Ruskin saving 165 folks from Camp Mystic, helping get them on helicopters and taking them out there. And it was his first save.
Yeah. And he was so humble about it. Mm-hmm. And those girls were so scared. And he kept saying, like, they're having the worst day of their life. Yeah. They don't know it's my first time. They just see somebody in uniform that is like a beacon of light. Mm-hmm. And he stayed there by himself with those girls and helped them. And the footage is just unbelievable.
Unreal.
So I can understand why search efforts are still underway.
Oh, absolutely. And I think people were swept away on bridges, streets, roads, houses, cabins, et cetera. And there's an image of a overpass that's about 30 feet up from ground level. And right now the water is even with the overpass. Just that and moving like thousands of cubic meters in a minute. I mean, it's just so fast. So we've linked some resources in our show notes, the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country's Kirk County Relief Flood Relief Fund, the Central and South Texas chapter of the American Red Cross. We have a link there. Make sure you put Guadalupe River, Kirk County Flood in there. Also, Kerrville Pets Alive, a ton of pets, animals need things, and search organizations like TexSAR, which is Texas Search and Rescue, and the United Cajun Navy, as well as just dozens and dozens, I'm sure going to be hundreds of GoFundMe fundraisers that GoFundMe
and
is
and so many churches have gone down to, because it was a Christian camp, to help in search efforts and just the community outpouring is overwhelmingly positive and supportive. Equally so is the grief that this situation, like I was telling you last night, of all the things like that impact that have impacted children over the past couple decades, this is hitting me like harder than really any of them. And I think it really is because you just see your kid in all those pictures.
100%.
And I certainly don't want to make this at all about me, but it is it's really sad to think of those families and what they're going through, and also what all those little girls went through and their counselors. It's just like the worst thing to happen on top of the worst thing to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And sending your kid away, we talked about this last night, like sending your kid to a sleepaway camp, you might not have seen him for a couple of days, even hours, weeks, whatever. So that's another layer of grief for these poor families. So,
and camp is like a safe place. And that's like all summer you're looking forward to going. And I saw somebody say how like camps in Texas are institutions. And it really is like that. And I don't know if it's like that in other places, but like generations of families will go to the same camps and stuff, and like it's the same director the entire time who heroically
died,
saved five girls, and then unfortunately did not make it afterwards. Another director from Heart of the Hills, a camp there too, also died trying to save people. And it's like so layered.
Yeah.
And, you know, nuanced and stuff. And just some of these, like Ella's friends, like legit knew some of these girls, you know, I mean, they're like, we, you know, like a friend of a friend type of thing. And it just, it hits a lot closer to home when it is your home. Mm-hmm. And then it just looks like your home, you know, you're looking at those pictures and you're like, this is what I'm used to. This looks like where I went to camp during the summer, or like where you would go tubing and stuff. It's like the river is like a big part of Texas in general and summer life. And it's just, it's one of those things where for all of these families, it'll be a before and after situation.
Yeah. Life has changed, certainly, especially the ones that have lost multiple of their children or grandparents and kids, you know, multiple family members across. But I don't, I think to point out the personal connection is not to say, you know, make it about you, but I think it is another window into the communal grieving, because you are not the only mom I have heard literally say that, or say these girls went to school with my daughter, went to my daughter's school, or every face I see in those pictures, I see my girl who is that same age. And I drop my kids off at camp. And it does, I think, because you're right, they're all doing something that's so normal in the summer. And especially some of the counselors I saw, you know, she was a counselor when she was a little girl, every year, grew up, was a counselor, and then also passed away there. So I think
that's
because
how those camps are. It's just very like generational and
embedded
in
the community.
Back. Oh, yeah. It's like becomes part of your childhood into your adulthood, where you go back as a counselor later and stuff. So
certainly
it's just heartbreaking on so many levels. And if you're in a position to help, you know, we encourage you to do so.
Yeah, those are some of the ones. Like I said, if you want to do direct aid to people. GoFundMe has verified fundraisers that are going to those families. And if you know somebody that was affected by these floods, we also have linked the Texas Tribune has other ways to help. But also, if you need help, how to reach out and to get help from some of the organizations. So we just wanted to take time up top since it was quite literally, it's about 300 miles southwest of where we are right now. So thank you to people who reached out and said, you know, are you okay? We are luckily, you know, well out of harm's way. But the fact that it is a place, a destination for so many across the state, I think that's why it also feels like such a statewide pain, because it's not just folks in their homes in this area, which also happened and is painful, but it's kids from all over went down there as well. Yeah. And for every one kid lost, that's an entire home school community that is just ripped apart, as well as their, you know, families as well. So thank you all for letting us tell you a little bit about what's going on in Texas. Yeah. And like Christy said, if you got a couple bucks, toss it to one of these organizations.
Yeah. And also take care of yourself. It's weird because there's kind of like a, what's the word? Guilt almost that comes along when you feel such grief about a situation that, you know, because like you don't want to insert yourself into a story that you're not part of. But there is, I was reading this whole thing about like with, especially like natural disasters and traumatic events, there is like a communal grieving that goes on. And like, that's okay, you know, and like lean into it, lean in. Like I'm on a lot of mom chats and like, it's all anybody can talk about. And you know, I mean, it feels weird to like go about doing stuff when this is going on. Like the, we almost didn't do Sunday Scaries because I was just like, this feels so weird. But it was nice to like laugh. And with this episode, of course, like it would be insane if we didn't mention it up top, because it is such a thing that's current, impacted all of us here. Yeah.
Yeah, and ongoing as well. But yeah, I think, like Christy said, take care of yourselves, because I think people watching from across the world are feeling these pains, you know, crying for them and the families. Some have said, please let us grieve in private. You know, don't post our kids' pictures, which we respect that as well. Or don't even, you know, mention their names. Some families prefer privacy like that. So for whatever way they want to honor their loved ones, we want to do that. Sure. But right now, shit is happening still. I mean, they're down there still trying to pull people out. So that's why we
wanted to get some. I'm not even sure if all of the girls from Camp Mystic have been accounted for yet.
I believe as of this, we're recording this July 8th. I think there were maybe 10 outstanding I recently saw. But that, don't quote me on that number. It's just a recent one I saw. So that's how impactful it was for the entire camp. Essentially, like a ladder portion of it was swept away and like gone. So we just wanted to address that here up top and just let everybody that's suffering from that know that we're thinking of you all, and hopefully in whatever ways, like we said, throw a couple bucks or share some stuff.
Yeah.
Make people aware of what's going on. So thank you for that. And this, you know, everything happens at once, and these we were like,
it's like everything. So I mean, everybody's grieving across the world about something right now.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it's overwhelming. So really do take care of yourself.
Take care. If I'm not preaching whatsoever, but my religious practice is one to bear witness to things, which is to let feelings come to you. But also that means you have to let feelings go and make space for other feelings. And also then be called to loving action. And your loving action looks whatever way you think it looks like. And so that's part of the meditation, right? So some people, loving action is donating, and others is doing stuff, you know, more community-based, and that's cool too. 0% judgment. Do we do the good we can as much as we can to whatever capacity we can.
Boy, howdy, my therapist picked a hell of a time to go on vacation.
You were like, oh, she's on vacation. I was like, woman? What?
Oh, man, bless her.
Bless her heart. She deserves it. She deserves it. So what do we say? Take care of yourselves, right? Yeah. You got to. So, oh, man. But this, we've got some interesting timing for today's episode. Just given this is new as of 1 week ago, pretty much.
And even something came out today that you had to quickly listen to see if there was anything we needed to include. So,
yeah,
this is an ongoing developing story, and we covered this in three parts in episodes 266 through 268. We did a live watch along with the Canadian documentary that we're going to reference quite a bit with I'm going to just say my favorite interviewer and journalist of all time now.
Straight up.
She's insanely just such a badass, and it's such a great interview. So we're going to get into that too. But we have a watch along with it.
Yes.
Because we watched it. Or did I watch it by myself? And then I was like, we have to watch this together, because I had seen it. And I was like, we have to all watch this together, because
I think
it is so crazy.
You and I turned it on the porch, and we're like 5 minutes in, and we're like, we have to stop this and like show them, like, because we, I just remember us being like, they're going to lose it when they hear the Martin Luther King Jr. reference.
Yeah.
And it's in like the first 5 minutes. So I think we watched like the first like 5 or 10 minutes, and we're like, we've got to watch along with y'all. So go to our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're at about 9,000 subscribers right now. First of all, I know more than 9,000 people listen, but also just as a spite thing, Jeff and Shalea's YouTube has 30,000 subscribers. So we're just trying to get those spite numbers up. So if you want to share our YouTube channel, it's free. If you're like, I don't really go on YouTube, that's okay. Just subscribe. And I mean, watch the episodes, because you can see our actual faces. But you can also see where we sit side by side in the studio here and just live react to Jeff and Shalea's lengthy interview with Avery Haines, which we'll discuss here.
Some of the hardest I've laughed was during that interview.
Yeah, it's a good time. We'll link it in the episode description, so you don't have to search or anything. But
yeah,
it's a that's one that I think of often and laugh at.
His face is, both of them, but his especially is
drenched in sweat.
Makes me want to throw up 1,000 times. So
yeah.
Hopefully, we don't have to see it much more.
We're going to see it behind some, just some vertical pieces of metal, I think, probably.
Yeah.
And maybe some clear bars. Plexiglass. We'll see.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. In February of 2024, cult survivor Keely Griffin, a former high-ranking Twin Flames Universe member, spoke publicly about her experiences at a National Writers Series event in Traverse City, Michigan, alongside cult expert Dr. Yanya Lalich. In an interview with Up North Live, Keely explained how TFU leaders Jeff and Shalea pressured members to relocate to Michigan to live near them, work on their planned farm, and help build a physical church as part of the couple's goal to create a centralized live-in community.
And the one where they had the spreadsheet where people were going to make babies based upon their decisions. Yes.
It's giving eugenics and, you know, compounds. It's not like a fun hippie commune where we're all going to live in peace and harmony. Not at all.
I think the language she used was like, and, you know, grow food for them. And I was like, so enslaved people is what you're describing.
Yeah.
It's where people work for you for free and then give you the money that they till
on
from
a farm.
The land.
Huh. What is dipshit? What was the rebranding he's trying to use? The president.
Owner responsibility.
Yes.
Which
is just a fancy new way of saying slavery.
Yeah, I feel like, I feel crazy because nobody saw this, just a brief aside, that like, if you say that you can use work on a farm to punish for a crime and then you arrest someone who was already working on the farm and make up a crime and then make them go back to work on that farm for no money, what have we done? Ask yourselves that. Just something to consider.
Ask yourselves that. And there's one person that oversees all of the people working for him.
Sort of takes ownership, someone
would say. Yeah, takes ownership and also doesn't allow them to leave.
Mm.
And doesn't also allow them to get citizenship.
Just sounds familiar. So they can't leave without the permission of their owner. It's almost as if we've made things like they once were.
It's almost as if those people are enslaved.
You know?
Keely was nervous about returning to the area where her former cult leaders still live. She and Dr. Lalich asked the organizers at the venue to ramp up security for their talk, even requesting metal detector wands at the door. Just a few hours before the event, the executive director of the host organization took Keely and Dr. Lalich for a drive through nearby Sutton's Bay. As they headed up the road where Jeff and Shalea live, the weather turned misty with a fog rolling through. Then Keely spotted them, Jeff, Shalea, and their baby, walking along the side of the road. Keely panicked and ducked down in the back seat, but the executive director, calm behind the wheel, looped the car around and gently encouraged Keely to be brave. On the second pass, Keely sat up, looked out the window, and gave them a wave. On stage at the event, she later told the crowd,
Jeff was not happy. He looked extremely angry. Today was monumental for me. I faced Jeff today.
The audience cheered.
As did we all. Girl, the only way it could have been better is to give him a two waves out the window. This one's for you, and this one's for your wife.
Yeah, the baby. I really feel sorry.
I feel bad for her. Yeah.
I hate that they have a kid, honestly. Right. Like, I wish, I don't know what, if they have family that is, you know, normal and could raise her well, but I hope that they do, because when these two idiots end up in prison, mm-hmm. She's
got to go somewhere.
She's by herself.
Yeah, no, she's got to go somewhere. But for Keely, mm-hmm. I bet that's, first of all, that's terrifying to even go back to the same area as your tormentor / people that you stood up to on a very public international stage, some would argue, because if you don't recall, Keely is the kind of key member who absconded with the hard drive, which mm-hmm. Jeff and Shalaya later alleged that not only was she under an NDA, but that it was also, quote, illegally stolen. To which I say, if that's true, fucking call the cops then, nerds, and or sue her under her NDA. I'm like, I think that you're full of fucking shit. And none of that's true.
Another member gave it to her. But also, yeah, what are you going to do? Turn them in when you know you're doing like the most illegal shit ever?
That's exactly what my argument is. Is like, they do not want to call the police because they will come back on them. And my other thing is, Keely is not a thieving former member, you idiots. She's what we call legally a whistleblower. Yeah. They are protected.
Yeah.
So
she was very brave to even
extremely
come out on the Netflix series. Mm-hmm. And then to go back, like you said, it takes so much courage. But the stomach drop when you see them, you're like, of course they're walking down the road with their child. I would duck too. And what a powerful thing to be able to like sit up and look directly at them, and you know his asshole just fell out of himself.
Oh, and especially as like how cool he tries to always be in his own YouTube videos, and then we've seen him drenched in sweat in the interview videos, that you know that trickled just from his neck to his ass crack, just like damp all over.
Yeah. And I hope hers was too. I hope not Keely, Shalaya, because they're equally
they equally suck
dipshits. Yeah, they equally suck shit.
Sinister Hood will be right back. If your dog could talk, they'd warn you about what's lurking in their bowl. Mass-produced kibble isn't just unappetizing, it could be a crime against canine health. People worry about mysterious byproducts, unpronounceable preservatives, and who knows what kind of fillers. People aren't trying to eat that or make their dogs eat it either.
No. Ollie is here to crack the case on pet nutrition with fresh, human-grade meals made with the highest quality ingredients. No mystery meats, no artificial junk, just real, minimally processed food made in U.S. kitchens. It's the kind of clean eating that keeps tails wagging and noses sniffing for more.
How it works is you fill out Ollie's 30-second quiz, and they'll create a customized meal plan based on your pup's weight, activity level, and other health info. Then get expert recommendations. Ollie crunches the numbers and recommends the right recipes and daily portions for your precious pup based on hundreds of thousands of real dog results. Get your welcome kit. For any first-timers, Ollie will send out your pup's first box with 2 weeks worth of meals and a guide how to gradually switch them over to their new diet. Then customize your plan. Ollie offers 3 meal plans to choose from, so you can choose between a full fresh plan, fresh topper plan, or mixed plan with their freshly baked recipes for your special fur baby. They also have treats and supplements. Ollie is the only fresh dog food that comes with unlimited routine health screenings, so you can get your pup on track to living their healthiest, happiest life. Kate likes Ollie. The dogs over here love Ollie.
Your dogs, my dog, everybody loves Ollie. Those peanut butter snacks. And I've said it before, it's a weird thing to love. But if you like sensory stuff, the snap together part of the treat bags, it just like Velcros back together so satisfying that it sets it above even more than just taste, because it stays fresh and sealed and it's enjoyable for me.
That's how the Pup-tainer is. I feel like it's satisfying to put the lid on. The scooper, it keeps the food contained. It's not a huge mess everywhere. There's something about like the satisfaction where I'm like, you're that thoughtful on that.
Mm-hmm. It's very thoughtful. Yes, too. Very thoughtful.
Well, dogs deserve the best, and that means fresh, healthy food. Head to ollie.com/creepy. Tell them all about your dog and use code creepy to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code creepy to get 60% off your first box. Keely also told them she wore a red dress to the speaking engagement because, as she explained to the crowd,
"This color will piss off Jeff. He never liked people, especially women, dressing in powerful colors. He wants all the power. I wore this dress just to spite him."
Dr. Lalage and Keely destigmatized former TFU membership, emphasizing that anyone could have been pulled into the group and there is no need for shame. They both encouraged anyone who needs help leaving or processing the aftermath of TFU to reach out to them.
They've both been very open and on social media sharing their conversations in various ways, or like Dr. Lalage's whole like social media is just like tips on how to get out of a cult, spotting cult issues. So she's been a really good resource, I think, for Keely and healing, and also hopefully for people that are maybe wanting to get out or just recently got out. Keely described it as like being dropped in another planet. She's like, you go from speaking literally kind of a different language to something totally different and you don't even know how to get your footing. So maybe they can help.
Yeah, for sure. Despite the controversy caused by both the Netflix and Prime documentaries, Jeff and Shalaya made plans for an in-person event in 2024. Called the Spiritual Life Summit, the four-day TFU retreat was slated for June 13th through 16th in Traverse City. They began selling tickets on their website for an event, promising to be
the number one event to manifest your twin flame in 2024.
The site also promised
a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to immerse yourself in a world where like-minded people will propel you into a world of love, spirituality, and personal growth. You will come out of this event with a twin flame that is immensely magnetized to you. So prepare yourself.
Let me break down why I hate this so much. I mean, I don't it's not a hot take, but specifically, that they are guaranteeing you that you're going to find your soulmate. Like, nobody can guarantee that. And it's also saying your soulmate better be one of the 50 people that bought a ticket to this. Like, what do you, you know what I mean? Like, it's just insane that they would say you are definitely going to find someone. Because to a vulnerable person, that's what they're looking for, to get this kind of confirmation, I would sign up. If I was, you know, desperate for my twin flame and I was all about it and I heard you're going to find him at this event, prepare yourself. It's going to be the most magnetic relationship you've ever had. Mm-hmm. I'd pony up the money to go.
No, certainly. I mean, what you're describing is a business enterprise makes a claim that is not a true claim, takes money and takes money from people who give that money in reliance on that claim, and then fails to deliver upon that claim. And as a lawyer, they taught us that's fraud.
Yeah, so, I would call it fraud.
Yeah. I feel a little bit like, well, you did one and then two and then three. And then the book of laws says that equals crime.
Yeah. You know, and then if you don't find them, like we saw in their online courses, it's your fault. You're not working hard enough, or you're the wrong gender. You should cut your hair and stop wearing makeup and start the transition, because your true flame is actually a woman and you need to be paired with the. I mean, it's just such manipulative coercion on people's most fragile feelings.
Absolutely. The feeling of, will I ever be accepted? Will I ever be loved? And then to be like, we will guarantee it, but you have to do every single thing that we say in the way that we say it. And then if you don't, and then our lies are exposed, which is to say you're guaranteed your soulmate, we will turn it on you, which I've heard them do in multiple videos. Well, they didn't want to work hard enough. Keely just didn't want to work hard enough. Keely didn't want her sister to be abused. How about that? Keely didn't want all her friends to sob because they were trying to be forced to change genders. I don't think Keely wasn't working hard enough. That bitch was working harder than anybody else. And I say that in a loving way.
Yes, she's arguably the most outspoken victim survivor to have left. So she's doing all the work.
I put my money on it, and I hope Jeff Devine hears this. She's helped more people than those two idiots ever will in their
100%.
Life. 100%. Period. Yeah. Period.
My guinea pigs have helped more people than
truly. They're so sweet and cute. They've never done anything wrong.
Like,
and they
genuinely helped people, because even if these people think they're getting helped, they're not. They're being hurt and brainwashed.
Repeatedly.
Critics and concerned locals mobilized to thwart the gathering. An informal group called Citizens for the Prevention of Predatory Commerce, or CPPC, began contracting local venues to warn them about TFU's reputation. The Glen Arbor Sun obtained copies of the correspondence sent to the venues, which warned that TFU
targets vulnerable people, those with PTSD, disenfranchised members of the LGBTQ plus community, the lonely, the depressed, etc. It provides psychological services by presenting them as, quote, coaching.
So dangerous.
Good
for
them.
We were just saying to ourselves the other day, like, once you start doing stuff that messes up the brain and stuff, like, that's oftentimes like you can't undo, or it takes years of intense therapy to undo. And to just dismiss it as coaching just sends me into fucking orbit.
It pisses me off. It's Linda Good McGillis style too, from the Profundity Years group, where it's like, I'm just coaching people.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, really, you're like applying, like, again, it's like, well, the statute says if you do this, then technically that is practicing without a license. And so in my opinion, that's what Christine Emmerich, as well as Jeff Shalea, and a lot of these ascension coaches have been crossing the line into providing mental health therapeutic sessions without a license. And I think that they should be stopped from doing that, in my opinion. But I don't know who the Citizens for the Prevention of Predatory Commerce, CPPC, are, but good for you guys for going out and being like, oh, you want to hold an event in our community? This is the type of stuff where I think when people feel like, oh my gosh, the world is so awful and it's burning down and there's nothing I can do, it's like you might not be able to solve every problem in the whole world, and you might not even be able to solve a problem 60 miles from you or 600 or 6,000 miles from you. But what these folks did was get together and say, not in our fucking town. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. Wrote these letters and sent them to every possible venue that might could have hosted them, and really shut a lot of doors. And I'm like, that's the kind of active you need. Not hurting Jeff and Schley, or not going after them. You are merely putting the truth into the hands of people that might not already have that.
Informing people. Mm-hmm. Just like people inform all the businesses that Ted Cruz eats at when they show up and boo him out of the restaurant and are like, you fucking fascist, just screaming. And I mean, hundreds of people in the street. And I was like, good job, guys. Activism. Good job, everybody. That's what it takes, is like community getting out there and being like, get the fuck out of here. Same with ICE. Like, I've seen many videos of neighbors and people coming out like, get the fuck out of here. You might have a bunch of assault rifles. We don't give a shit. Get out of our neighborhood.
Kind of like, we will march on you. So don't never underestimate what a couple of real strong willed people can get done whenever they put their minds to it. So shout out to the CPPC.
True. Yeah. Let me know how to become a member.
We support you.
Yeah, definitely. The letters also referred to official reports that CPPC sent to the Internal Revenue Service. The group wrote that it alleged to the IRS that the TFU-affiliated Church of Union acts as a shell corporation that has been set up to evade federal taxes and enrich its officers who receive income as TFU Ascension coaches. CPPC also called the Spiritual Summit a
sales event to coerce the vulnerable into signing up for high-priced ascension coaching so that they can find their divine twin flame union. CPPC believes this has every characteristic of fraud.
TFU stopped selling tickets on May 23rd, but did not indicate the event was sold out.
I wonder if it started getting, some pressure, and or the only event venue they could get was smaller and they had to cut down early.
True, very true. It also reminds me a lot of Nexium. Like this, you know, leveling up and ascension and pyramid scheme of like coaching people beneath you. They're all the same when you really drill it down. All cults start the same way.
Will it shock you to learn that on a recent podcast, Jeff Devine claimed that the only reason why TFU was targeted by Netflix and Amazon was because they had moved on from Nexium and they just needed someone. And I was like, bitch, did you just compare yourself to Nexium? You did that on your own. We didn't even make that connection, dog.
No, you're telling on yourself.
You just told on yourself. Dude. He was like, you know, once they finished with Nexium, they moved on to us. And I was like, yes, because you're the same. Yeah.
You're like,
Keith Raniere is in jail.
You said Nexium. Nobody else said pyramid scheme cult. Nobody else said that. You brought that up.
I'm like, I didn't say Nexium. You said Nexium. But the IRS can put the CPPC letter next to the one I already sent them last year, because I was like, I feel a responsibility as a person who has obtained information that looks to me to be a violation of federal statutes. This is the way to report it. And I felt a calling to send a little letter.
If you feel a calling, you got to answer it.
In good faith. Sinister Hood will be right back. This is an ad by BetterHelp. To battle stress, most of us can't wave goodbye to work, but we can start small with a focus on wellness. So for me, something that makes me always feel better, going on a bike ride, reading my book outside with a cup of coffee, enjoying nature in any ways, mm-hmm. walking under nature. And I feel like I love you. I love our job, but our job is still a job. And there's mm-hmm. times that I'm like, I need to close my laptop and just go have outside time.
For sure. Absolutely. Workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. Don't forget that therapy can help you navigate whatever challenges the workday or any day might bring.
For instance, on Friday, when the 40-year-old oak tree just fell down in my front yard and I was like overwhelmingly emotional about it, I was so happy to have my BetterHelp therapy session just a couple days later because I'm like, I'm going to talk to Nikki about this. And to have someone who's like, these are the factors that are going into how you feel and these are the ways that you can cope with them is such a game changer. And it leaves you not going, what's wrong with me that I feel right? this way? It's like a true thing is that I feel this way. Let me talk with someone who can help me navigate it.
It's validating. Yes.
Absolutely.
Supportive.
BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. Access a diverse network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties. Easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. And it works with an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews.
As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise.
Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/sinister. That's BetterHelp.com/sinister.
CPPC's efforts prompted at least two sites to refuse bookings. TFU organizers, aware of the pushback, then concealed their connection to the controversial group by using aliases when reserving locations. The ruses seemed to work on the Cathedral Barn at the Grand Traverse Commons, Great Wolf Lodge, and Hickory Hills, all of which hosted parts of the summit. A representative from one of the venues told the Glen Arbor Sun newspaper they had no idea they were renting their space to the Twin Flames universe.
I think that's the thing, too, is when you have an enterprise like this, like, you don't have to go and rent it under the name of Jeff Devine. Mm-hmm. Like, you can say, hey, Susie, in marketing or whatever, go put it under your name. And absent CPPC going out there, and even with their efforts, it seems like some venues are like, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah, I want to know if this is the same Great Wolf Lodge we've got here, which is a children's themed like staycation hotel with a water park.
It's like a family friendly resort kind of thing. So yeah, I think so. I think it's their chain.
Well, that's gross on a lot of levels, mm-hmm. including Jeff and Shalea thought it was appropriate. Like, this is a family cult. We all want to help each other and we're going to go to the, you know, this family themed event, bring your kids, bring everybody. And then, you know, that's just another way that they get their fingers into everything.
And it also, I think it lends to it an air of legitimacy of mm-hmm. like, you know, we're having a conference at this conference place where everyone else has, you know, your insurance company might have a conference here with the mm-hmm. employees and their families. So I get what you mean. It's like everyone's included. We're just like a fun family. And that's what they describe footage of Jeff screaming at the members of like, it's a family meeting that was passionate, that was blasted on the internet.
The event, which cost over $500 per person to attend, opened with a divine art show featuring Shalea's work. It included gatherings and workshops before ending with a twin flame wedding on Sunday. The wedding ceremony at Hickory Hills on June 16th was booked under the name Ariel Corley, according to Traverse City officials. That name came to light after the Glen Arbor Sun filed a Freedom of Information Act request to find out who submitted the application. It's still unclear what connection, if any, Ariel Corley has to Twin Flames Universe. There are several people by that name in Michigan, and one Ariel Corley, once studied in Sedona, Arizona, where Shalaya was living back in 2012, under her birth name, Megan Plant, when she first met Jeff Ion online.
So it could just be could be a fake name that they used or a name that they pulled out of a hat. They're like, I don't know, the Little Mermaid, Ariel.
Yeah.
Or it could
yeah.
be somebody that's participating in it. We don't know.
Or someone they knew mm-hmm. and they just, you know. They
stole an old name. Damn. Fuck. You're just like, I'm just trying to vibe in Sedona. Yeah. I did not know these people.
No, sorry, Ariel Corley, if you're listening and you're like, they did what?
She's like, I'm not going to no Great Wolf Lodge.
Mm-mm. According to the marriage license filed the next day in Grand Traverse County, the ceremony was officiated by Jose Sanchez, a self-described
Master Certified Ascension Coach
with Twin Flames. Two fellow coaches signed as witnesses, Michaela Sanchez and Christine Emmerich. Emmerich, one of Jeff's frequent collaborators, is affiliated with the Church of Union and has been listed as the cult's chief operations officer. The mailing address for Jose Sanchez is the same address tied to Emmerich's Church of Union property, just outside Traverse City.
Yeah, so I think they're ordaining themselves as ministers and conducting these weddings, which you're allowed to do. I mean,
yeah, you can't. I mean, you're ordained. So.
I am through the Universal Life Church.
Despite their attempts to keep it secret, the Glen Arbor Sun published details of the weekend, including a photo of the ceremony. Seemingly unaffected by the negative local press surrounding their summit, Jeff and Shalaya pressed onward, posting sermons online and continuing to recruit new members for their universe. Perhaps hopeful to reclaim the narrative, the couple hired a crisis PR firm in late 2024 and decided to reach out to one of Canada's top investigative journalists.
Jeff Devine called this woman a so-called investigative journalist. Take two of these and call me in the morning, Jeff Devine, with your wig
this
ass.
This woman
looking.
Did not back down to any of his bullshit. She didn't... You know, when they would try and laugh things off or smile or be coy, she didn't buy into it. She asked, logical questions that we all want to know and pushed when they didn't want to answer, to the point where he had to excuse himself to get water and literally the color drained from his face.
He was just like, I just need a drink really quick. Hold on. Hang on. And then it was like,
go, 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 go. While sweat is pouring down his face. Pouring. And Shalaya's next to him going, he gets dry mouth when he talks a lot. And Avery's just like, let me know when you're ready to continue.
He literally had to like run to the other room.
He did. He had to, yeah. And then the cameraman knew what he was doing and did shot of the whole I don't think they were at their house, but they were at a house. Maybe they were at their house.
I think it might have been their living room.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because they're like, not it's everybody like- wants a big house like this. Honestly, it's really hard to take care of and clean. So I don't recommend it for everybody.
Our house is so big. It's so hard to clean. I'm like,
we have so many rooms that we can't even clean them all.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. When Canadian investigative journalist Avery Haynes of CTV's W5 program received a cryptic email with the subject line,
"We're not a cult,"
she said it
stopped me cold.
The unexpected email extended an invitation for an exclusive sit-down interview with Jeff and Shalaya, which she ultimately accepted.
She also said in one of her posts, like, I recognized what that PR firm was and like I knew who they were.
Oh, yeah.
And was essentially like, yeah, I'll do this interview, but I'm going to ask about everything. And then it was like, we want you to ask about everything.
Yeah, that's what I don't get about dipshits like this is you know what you did, but I think they really believe that they are masters of weaving these lies and bullshit so much that they're going to pull one over on Avery Haynes.
Mm-hmm. You can tell Jeff is very controlling and tries to be very controlling insofar as the narrative. And that extends to the Netflix and Amazon coverage. He repeatedly calls it a docudrama. Jeff, again, bitch. If you're listening, I'm going to help you with some definitions. A docudrama is a dramatized version that's based on real events and it uses actors and scripted dialogue and cinematic storytelling, whereas a docuseries, which is what you were featured in, is a nonfiction television series that episodes build on the previous one. I'm sorry I need to explain that to you, because Shalaya correctly said in one of their podcast episodes, you know, with those docuseries, and he was like, docudramas. And I'm like, you're embarrassing yourself that you're trying to control it, like, edit this. At the very least, like, edit this YouTube that you're posting. But it's like, he can't help himself that he's like, docudrama. And she's like, oh, docudrama, oops. And I'm like, lady, you both sound like idiots.
As does the PR person who is sitting there in the room the entire time this interview is going on.
Just like,
at one point they have to address him about something. But it's like, did you not get all the information that everyone else had, like Netflix and Prime and everybody had, and then still agree to do this interview? Like, obviously, all of their dirty laundry is going to get dragged out.
Yeah, I'm like, there's entire flash drives of like all the shit they've done. What amount of interviewing do you think is going to get them out of this? But you know what? No shade to this crisis PR person that was like, you have $40,000? Let me see if this check clears. And then the check cleared and they're like, maybe we send an email. And then Jeff's like, you know what we should put in the subject line? We're not a cult. Not a and that PR person's like, yeah, hit send, dog. And then they just cash the check. I'm like, this is, if I don't think you could get a refund. But like, to me, the interview did more damage.
Yeah. I would argue that as well. But it's he worse. Seems like a client that would push for something against all advice.
100%. This is like, I would never hire this person as a lawyer because they would not take your advice. You would be like, make sure you don't do X, Y, and Z. 100% they go and do it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can't help you if you do that. They go and do that. And you're just like, well, there it is. Like, can you imagine you're the PR firm? And you're like, well, don't post a bunch of crazy shit on YouTube. Again, I will reiterate, they have 30,000 YouTube subscribers. It's offensive to me. Come on, guys.
Hit that like. Just hit that subscribe. Like and subscribe, guys.
Just hit subscribe. Just out of spite only.
Mm-hmm. The outreach was part of a carefully orchestrated media campaign by TFU's new crisis PR team, who sought to reposition the narrative away from the disturbing allegations surrounding the group. In tandem with traditional media appearances, TFU began releasing high-production YouTube content. One standout was a nearly hour-long video in which members offered glowing testimonials about finding
love and free will
within the community. These videos, with soft lighting, serene music, and polished editing, appeared tailored to counteract public perception of the group as manipulative or extreme.
It's the same shit they were doing again with the church stuff, where like every picture you see of Jeff affiliated with the church, he's got a suit on and everything.
That- or he's Jesus.
Yes, he's he literally looks like Jesus. That motherfucking clown walks around town with the hat cocked to the side. He loves a high-positioned baseball hat with it cocked to the side and drives around in a $400,000 Ferrari. He's like, it's the last Ferrari that was made with a choke V8 engine. And I'm like, you are on the one hand trying to say that you're like this church, but the whole thing is they cannot get out of their own fucking way. Like, if they were truly smart masterminds, they would have shut the fuck up and got away with it all. But they're so fucking stupid that they just keep putting themselves out there. And I'm like, every single time you think you're fixing it, you make it worse.
They're too greedy. They're too braggadocious. They want everybody to know about all their Chanel bags and how much their cars cost. And it's like, but you also want to tell everyone that the money that you're charging, the exorbitant amount of money, close to $9,000 for some of these classes, is like reasonable. You want us all to believe that?
Because of value. Because we bring value to your lives. We bring you value. And that's why we're so he like started trying to explain some type of like mortgage situation. And he goes, if you don't understand it, I'm not even going to explain it to you. But essentially, we bring you value. And that's why you need to give us money. Now, I'm going to unbox these watches while $30,000 of purses are over my shoulder, like while I'm doing this video. Like, I'm literally like, but we can see those are like Chanel and like LV bags that are like limited edition. Like, you have to Google them to figure out what they are. Like, I don't know.
So tone deaf.
Yeah, extremely. Sinisterhood will be right back.
This episode of Sinisterhood is brought to you by Graza. It is that time of the year, whether you're grilling on the deck or chilling at the beach, Graza is your one and only summertime, never blended, single origin olive oil.
Ooh, and it's so
do we love it.
God, it's so good. Graza offers three unique varieties for any cooking task. Frizzle, with the smoke point of 490 degrees Fahrenheit. It's perfect for grilling, frying, or crisping. Sizzle at 410 degrees Fahrenheit. It's your everyday hero for roasting, marinating, sautéing. And then drizzle. It's got that bold, punchy flavor. And it goes great on bread, my toast I eat every morning, ice cream, classic potato salad, anything you need, the little psh, that extra punch, drizzle's got you.
Yeah, Tommy cooks with it every day. Yeah, literally every day. It's on all of our food. It's so good.
I realized I used all three today. I did a drizzled for my toast. I used sizzle to cook my eggs. And then at lunch, I used frizzle to make some hot dogs on a grill.
That's the Graza trifecta, baby.
I hit them all, baby.
You'll get 10% off your first order of any olive oil on their site. But we wholeheartedly recommend the trio. That's all three squeezy bottles, sizzle, frizzle, and drizzle. So you're set for every style of cooking.
So head to graza.co and use Creepy to get 10% off Trio, which includes sizzle, frizzle, and drizzle, and get to cook in your next chef-quality meal.
Jeff and Shleya also continued to share idyllic family photos with their young daughter, showcasing wholesome domestic scenes from their home in Traverse City, Michigan. This personal content stood in stark contrast to the darker narratives dominating headlines and documentaries at the time. Behind the scenes, however, a different tone prevailed. Leaked chats from late 2024 between TFU moderators revealed coordinated efforts to insulate members from outside criticism. Moderators actively encouraged followers to avoid, quote, negative media coverage, including the W5 investigation, and to instead place unwavering trust in Jeff and Shalaya's divine authority.
So that's what cult leaders tell you to do, which is to ignore your own eyes and ears and only listen to what the leader says.
Yeah, it's a dictatorship. It's a cult. It's anytime a leader has self-appointed themselves to make decisions for an entire group, or you have to run anything by that you want to do by these people, that's a big red flag. Once you start letting people take over how you think, I mean, that's like what makes you you. And that's something like you can't even touch. It's just in you.
Yeah. And especially if the person that's telling you this, first of all, change their last name. Jeff Ion, your name is not Jeff Divine.
No.
But changes their name.
And her name's not Shalaya.
No, it's Megan or whatever.
She's also from Canada, which I think is maybe what tied into the W5 investigation.
They're like, we should call Avery Haines. And Avery Haines shredded their asses. But fairly, in my opinion. But the thing about what you're talking about is when you have a person appointing themselves as, not only am I your only source of information and knowledge, but also I am a divinely selected source of information, knowledge. Literally, this is what the kings did to keep the serfs and the peasants under them. And they're like, well, God made me the king and made you the workers. So if you work really hard, you can get like up in the ranks, but you're never going to be king because I'm the king because God said I was. So his whole thing is like, we don't live in the physical world. We live in the spiritual world. Okay. We live a different. I'm like, you live in a spiritual world with the fucking Ferrari and $30,000 worth of bags. I don't think so.
No.
I think you live in the earthly realm, my dude.
It's giving Jonestown. Let's all come live and work and grow farms and stuff, but there's gonna be one person that we all have to answer to.
Yeah, and it's Jeff.
Yeah, like it's Jeff and then Shalaya underneath, but it's not like they are considered equals by any stretch of the imagination, and he would admit that because the masculine energy is supersedes the feminine divine energy.
It's all about the polarity. Like,
I forgot about polarity.
But she's like, damn it. When Shalaya's like, it's because we have different polarities, and we don't get about my man is that the polarities are either masculine or feminine. She literally said in this most recent podcast, not most recent, but a recent one, she goes, one time I went to a Halloween party dressed as Luke Skywalker, and I thought, this isn't me. I don't feel like this is me. Yes, it's Luke Skywalker. It's not any of us. Skywalker.
That's because it's a costume for all.
And she's like, I just didn't really. So it's like so offensive to me. And I am a cis person. Like we all have our own identity, gender identity that we identify with, regardless of what that gender identity is. If you identify with the one you were assigned at birth, that means you are cis. So period, you have a gender identity, regardless of whatever you think about this. So it's so offensive to me as a cis person, as a person who has trans friends and family members, that Shalaya would consider donning a Luke Skywalker costume as her exploring whether she's masculine or feminine, and not in like this, not in a way that's like, I got really into cosplay and I was attracted to these characters and like, mm-hmm. I was exploring it, because I do think cosplay and costumes can be part of that, but that she flippantly compares one time wearing a Luke Skywalker costume to a Halloween party to other people's entire gender journey and like, yeah. the journey to like what gender you identify with. It's so fucking offensive to me. And I just feel so heartbroken for anybody that is struggling with gender identity that got looped into these dipshits because mm-hmm. they don't fucking know what they're talking no. about.
Not only do they not know what they're talking about, but the messages they're spewing are very dangerous.
Extremely dangerous.
Also, why do we think she chose Luke Skywalker? Do you think she was like, well, this is the ultimate man that fights for good. So if I don't relate to this, then I'm not going to relate to anything. No, I think she went as Luke Skywalker. And then many years later on this podcast, she was like, oh, that's right. I did that one time. I went as Luke Skywalker's Halloween. So I'm going to, when we talk about like gender polarity, I'm going to bring that up because that makes yeah. it seem like I really get it.
At no point would I be like, well, I know I explored my gender identity when I dressed as Sherlock Holmes one year and wore a fake mustache and had a meerschaum pipe, which is a true thing. And it was fun. And I had a great time. I loved wearing that mustache. Wearing fake mustache is one of my favorite things to do. But I'm not going to go to a person who has a struggle with their gender identity and go, listen, man, I know what's up. I love a fake mustache. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a fake beard? And they're like, that's not really what this is about.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm like, well, you want to give me $9,000 to help you sort this?
It's offensive and insensitive, and it's offensive on so many levels because they just think they're so much smarter than everybody else they come in contact with. And newsflash, dipshits, you're stupider than everybody you've ever come in contact with.
Pretty much every single person, especially the ones that got out. Yeah. If you're so smart, how did Keely get a Netflix series?
True. Yeah. In early March 2025, Canadian network CTV's investigative program W5 began promoting its explosive multi-part documentary, We're Not a Cult, centered on allegations against Jeff and Shalaya. The documentary promised to shed new light on accusations of coercion, manipulation, financial exploitation, and control within the spiritual coaching community TFU had built online. Just ahead of the documentary's air date, TFU posted a, quote, media statement on its official website. The language used was almost identical to a defense previously shared with media outlets back in 2023. This statement emphasized the group's mission of love and healing, denied cult allegations, and portrayed dissenting voices as disgruntled former students.
It's like the interview didn't even come out, and they were like, we got to release something because people are about to see this.
We know how bad that was because I chugged 4 gallons of Smart Water.
They're like, reach out to Smart Water. See if they'll sponsor us. Smart Water's like, nope. And please blur our logo out.
Yes, because that, please we have don't drink our water. But yeah, they were trying to get ahead of it. Probably that crisis PR firm told them to, too, because he was sitting there watching the whole thing, too.
He's like, I'm never going to reputationally recover from this.
But it's like the Barbara Streisand effect or just anything where you're like calling more attention to something than needs be.
Yeah.
And if you just shut the fuck up, you know, he doth protest too much.
It's like they're like, we'll put a statement out and then that'll show them. And all it does, which I mean, I think it probably effectively maintains their semblance of control of the narrative to these insular group that still like listens to them as divine and follows them. So if that's you're like, well, at least we can maintain what we currently have by getting ahead of it. Maybe that's the plan.
Do we know how many are still currently active in the TFU?
The latest number I could get was from Shalaya in this. It's linked in the show notes. It's 1 hour and 22 minutes. I watched it on 2x speed and that was still too slow. in my opinion, she said not once did our revenue drop during this as far
bullshit.
As that's my opinion is no. So, although several people in the comments were like, this is how I found you. So then I was like, please don't. If you see a documentary about a cult, don't go and Google it and join. But they said it's not a ton of people. I believe she said it's a couple of hundred really dedicated students. So I guess that's the magic of a pyramid scheme is that if you know, it doesn't take a lot to get the money.
Yeah.
You just need some that are willing to on that recurring revenue.
Mm-hmm. And also feed your ego and treat you like you're just the prom king and queen, which is what I think they want to be considered. You know, like They were never the popular kids, and now they want to be the popular kids where everyone's just telling them how great they are.
Yeah, they're just, you're exactly right. I think it's a big part of it is ego. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not probably too bad to own one of the only Ferraris that's a naturally aspirated V8 engine or watches or purses or whatever. That's fun too. But I think you're right that what can you do to help me? Like being an ascension coach and having people come to you like you're some kind of expert. If the rest of your whole life, you're a fucking idiot loser who's never really done anything that's like impressive. Then, yeah, I'm sure that makes you like that's how you go to sleep at night is that you tell yourself, like, I'm a good guy. I helped mm-hmm. that sad person today. And then you go to sleep on your $10,000 mattress
every night and gives himself a little speech before he lays his head down.
Who's mommy's good boy? Your mommy's good boy. Your mommy's good boy. She's like, Jeff, are you done in there? I'm taking a dump. Your mommy's good boy.
Oh, yeah. He's smacking himself for sure. In the interview, Jeff surprisingly distanced himself from some of TFU's most foundational concepts, calling certain teachings
silly ideas
and claiming
there's no sacred cows here.
Even the group's core doctrine of divine masculine feminine energies was up for reconsideration, signaling a possible pivot under legal and social pressure.
This is why I don't fuck with these people, too, for a myriad of reasons, but also stand on your shit.
Yeah,
you said this for 5 years when mm-hmm. the rubber meets the road and you're staring down the barrel of Avery Haines and you're just like, I don't know, it's kind of silly. And you're like, you charge people thousands of dollars and mm-hmm. ruin their lives.
No, yeah. Anyone that can just pivot like that, like, oh, I don't know. You've stood for decades talking about how you're like against certain political parties and leaders. And then the second something comes along where you're going to get further and your career is going to get further. Like, you're like, sure, I'll buy into this now. I'll jump ship.
You're like, I will never align myself with that person. And then someone's like, we'll give you a lot of money. You were like, I love this guy. I love this guy so much.
He's the best.
Like, that's people I don't like. I'm always like, at least have an ethos. What does Walter say in The Big Lebowski? Say what you will about the tenets of National Socialism, but at least it's an ethos. Like, these people are nihilists. They believe nothing. I mean, truly, I feel like they're narcissistic nihilists. Like, they don't really believe this stuff. It's like, what bullshit can I spew to get mm-hmm. money?
Yeah, 100%.
Sinister Hood will be right back. You know what? You try to get in bed, trying to go to sleep. You had a rough day. Sliding into bed is the way to go. I already got a good mattress. I already got a nice dark place. But if you got the sandpaper sheets, it sort of takes you out of the feeling.
Yeah.
And I knew this was a good sheet brand because before they were a sponsor, you use this. And you are a person who has some of them in a very good way because you are very thoughtful and thorough. You have like the highest standards of anyone I know.
Oh,
so
wow.
when they were
you.
Like, do you want to work with Boll & Branch? I was like, well, Christy likes Boll & Branch. I should get Boll & Branch.
We got Boll & Branch beds now.
We got to.
They really are the softest sheets I've ever had. And just good quality. They don't fall mm-hmm. apart in the wash. In fact, they get softer after washing it, which I don't even understand, but they do. They've got very pretty neutral colors. Mist is my favorite. That's what our whole bedding is in. And then also they've just, because I was on their website the other day, they've expanded to all sorts of other colors too, and now even furniture.
Boll & Branch has got everything.
Boll & Branch sheets quiet all the noise of the day, wrapping you in a softness so extraordinary that your body and mind effortlessly drift to sleep. Their signature sheets are made with the finest 100% organic cotton, offering a buttery, breathable feel that only gets softer with every wash. Experience the difference for yourself with Boll & Branch's 30-night guarantee.
That's the good thing is if you think that we're full of it, don't take our word for it. You can try Boll & Branch sheets for an entire month. Seriously, you can wash them, style them, feel the difference, risk-free, try them in your house. If they don't change the way you sleep, you send them back for a full refund. And I like a place that stands behind their stuff.
Yeah. What have you got to lose? Get the best savings of the season during Boll & Branch's annual summer event. Get 20% off plus free shipping on your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com/creepy. That's Boll & Branch, bollandbranch.com/creepy to save 20% and unlock free shipping. Limited time only. Exclusions apply. After the W5 documentary aired to widespread attention, Jeff and Shalaya posted a lengthy rebuttal on Medium, titled,
Our Thoughts on CTV's We Are Not a Cult.
In the post, they characterized the show as a, quote, biased portrayal and assured followers,
We are two individuals who want nothing more than to spread joy and see people enhance their potential.
The duo dismissed critics as
frustrated
or
disgruntled
and suggested the spiritual journey they offer is not
for the faint of heart. And that's like whole, if you plug their Medium thing and you say, hey, analyze this ChatGPT, what do you find? Victim framing, emotional priming, euphemistic reframing of controversies, us versus them construction, authority appeals and legitimacy claims, mm-hmm. spiritual bypass, moral licensing, emphasis on narrative ownership, a softening of language and use of passive voice. You know, the final result with these people wasn't what we hoped to see. You screamed in their faces and abused them is actually the active language here.
It's but all, passive, yeah. It's written passive. Like a PR person would write something.
And also like a narcissistic wacko person wrote it because it's like we, you know, we have lawyers and accountants who have looked at this and we are structured the exact same way as countless other businesses and institutions. And it's a false equivalency that just because you run your business like other businesses doesn't mean you're an ethical business.
No.
But it's like, we're just like the American Dental Association. I don't think you are.
No. Don't come in my mouth and may I take that back?
No, it's out there. It's out there. Don't come in my mouth and tell me you're a dentist. It was spelled C-O-M-E.
Oh, man. But yeah, it's I don't want them anywhere near me, especially my mouth or anything to do with my teeth.
No, not at all. But they just use a lot of language like it's a media frenzy, a media frenzy. And that keeps being their whole through line is fake news, fake news. Don't believe it. The media is, like I said, the hour and 22 minute podcast. You don't have to watch it because it was just them repeatedly saying over and over again, like mainstream media, fake news. The journalists don't know any better than you. They don't know any more than you. Journalists are all just trying to get money and it's all just
their job is to know more than us and then report it to us. Right.
I'm like, Avery Haynes knows more than me about like so many things because she goes there physically and then like finds out and then tells me. That's like what a journalist is.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a lot of attempts at, I think, calling it a docudrama repeatedly, but also even with the Avery Haynes referring to her as a so-called investigative reporter and saying that he's like, you don't understand how the media works. It just makes things up and it's all fake and blah, blah, blah. So I think they're very dug in and will never, ever turn themselves around.
Like I don't love anything either that describes the spiritual journey as, quote, not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
Those two things seem like polar opposites, a spiritual journey and then something that's going to like take all drain you essentially. Like you know, only certain people are equipped to handle this type of thing that we're going to throw at you.
That's exactly what he says in their follow-up to the W5 interview. Their Jeff and Shalaya podcast number one. I don't know if there was ever another podcast, but
hopefully there was never a number two.
Good God. They're both a couple of number twos in my opinion. But they say that regarding the survivors, they were like, oh, we just feel really bad for those people. Jeff said, he goes, they're all hurt. They're all unhealed. He said, you know, the human mind is like an onion. And I'm like,
oh,
and he goes,
God.
Like Shrek. It's like an onion. And you peel these layers back and you just peel this, keeps on peeling. And when you peel the first one off, it hurts. But then to peel another one, it's painful. And he said, it's totally okay that these people didn't want to continue. I have compassion for them. I have enormous respect for their autonomy and freedom of choice. They just had an upset that they didn't want to work through.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's the blaming. And he transitioned to that. Right after transitioning away from I drive a $450,000 car that's like a Ferrari Spider. And Shalaya was very offended. She said that she thought that the media was very misleading because it showed her Chanel bag in the footage. And she said it was the one Chanel bag that Karl Lagerfeld was going to design. It was his last bag. And that's why I got it. And literally, she says this on May 18th, 2025 in a YouTube video. May 21st, 2025, there's a YouTube video of Jeff in their closet doing watch reviews. And behind him is five purses on a shelf. And the retail value of those five purses is $35,000 total. They're like a $2,000 purse, a $10,000 purse, a $3,000 purse. So for her to say, like, I've been completely maligned in the media.
I treated myself to this one luxury.
I had one single luxury. And it's like, no, you fucking didn't. You're addicted to shit. They're addicted to stuff. These are two of the most materialistic fucking assholes I've ever seen in my life.
I would agree with that.
Guess what? No amount of stuff's ever going to make you cool. It's never going to make you attractive. And it's never going to make you likable.
No. Or arguably happy.
No. You know? Like, it's shit, big holes.
Shit breaks down. Shit. Cars break down. They go away. You know, I mean, like, stuff goes out of style. You got to then spend more money on new bags. I think her even using the excuse, like, it was the last bag Karl Lagerfeld. It's so, like, tone deaf.
It's a rich person thing. Yes.
Just stand on your shit. Like, be like, yeah, I wanted to buy myself a luxury bag. So I did.
Yeah.
To be like, you peasants don't even understand. First of all, let me describe who Karl Lagerfeld is. You know, and just, mm-hmm. bitch, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You ain't rich. You're nouveau rich. And you don't know how to act with money.
No, they're very new money trash, and it's mm-hmm. embarrassing for them. So, yeah. I mean, just those kind of things where literally they don't understand 3 days later saying that and how that's like, you're like, yeah. you literally just contradicted yourself. No idea. He does say on that May 18th video, he said, we're not doing anything illegal. The FBI even came out and looked, and we're not doing anything illegal. And I'm like, okay. That was May 18th.
We'll see.
Then what happens? Yeah.
When you lie so much, it's hard to keep up with what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's easy to get tripped up because you're just spewing shit. None of it's like truthful.
Having seen them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having seen them in action on all of Keeley's footage, they are not smart enough to operate a criminal enterprise long term.
No.
You could set it up. You might be able to run it short term.
Not long term. You might be able to get a $500,000 car and a couple bags, but eventually you're going to be in prison.
That clock is ticking.
Yeah. Tick tock, tick tock.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Despite the pair's efforts, many critics saw the PR campaign as little more than a rebranding effort, crafted to soften public perception while sidestepping accountability. Months after the Canadian documentary, Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel announced an investigation into TFU for alleged labor trafficking and fraud. She shared a powerful video on July 1st calling out the alleged cult.
Twin Flames is a largely online organization with leaders based in Leelanau County that allegedly uses coercive control over its members, both in Michigan and across the United States. We believe that many of their actions may have been illegal, and we are asking for the general public's help in this investigation.
We love to see it.
She's
serious.
We love
to see someone take it seriously.
And the labor trafficking is what we talked about at the end of episode 3, as far as what might be the thing that triggers the most attention from authorities. Mm-hmm. And it is unpaid labor for 2 reasons, because it's illegal to have unpaid labor. And if you have unpaid labor, that means those laborers have unpaid taxes.
Yep.
So the feds get a little chop licking about that of like, oh, how far can we claw back?
Mm-hmm. The video came after special agents from the Michigan Attorney General's Office, the U.S. Department of Labor Office of Inspector General, Michigan State Police, and 2 local sheriff's offices executed search warrants on multiple properties associated with TFU. According to the AG's official statement,
the warrants were served upon individuals atop the Twin Flames Universe TFU organization and its associated properties under the authority of a judge finding probable cause that crimes have been committed by TFU and their leadership.
You fucked. once they come knocking, they already know the answer to their questions.
Well, what's kind of getting me is like, I also straight up emailed the office attorney Michigan Attorney General's office press contact and was like, can you give me copies of the warrants? Can you give me indication of like where, what judge signed this warrant? Because it just said a judge. And the fact that it's an ex parte warrant kind of makes me think it's federal charges. And it kind of makes me feel really excited because the Office of Inspector General offices within these Department of Labor, Department of whatever, are the ones that proceed on litigation in litigation on behalf of the organization, like saying, we think we need to go in because this business isn't fairly paying overtime wages. We're going to go sue this business or whatever. And then also the idea that some judge somewhere signed it and it's not like Leelanau County judge, you know, Jane Doe signed this, that we're not saying it. It makes me think that it's federal. And especially since CPPC, as well as me, and I'm sure other people have reported them to the IRS for this whole, like, we're just going to make this church and like, keep, you know, the literal statements of him saying, like, let's just make a sham church and not pay taxes. And the amount of money that they have been spending, flaunting, like that kind of shit. I'm like, all that's going to get.
Yeah.
It's going to get taken by the government and sold off.
I'm going to get myself one of them crystals.
Hell yeah. If they have a fucking Jeff, I will fly to Michigan if they have like a sale. Like, you know what they did with the Murdoch stuff? Yeah, the Murdoch estate sale. I didn't want the Murdoch estate stuff, but some of this shit I'm nosy to.
They tried to auction off all of Tom Girardi's stuff to get money too.
That's right.
I mean, eventually they're going to be selling those cars and shit because they're going to have a ton of fucking things to pay.
And by they are selling, it's actually the trustees for the government, not Jeff and Shalia, because you can't sell anything if you're in jail.
The YouTube video from the AG's office confirmed both the Emmerichs, including TFU's chief operations officer, and the Divines were among the targets. Local paper Traverse City Record Eagle reported that neighbors saw law enforcement and a canine unit enter the Divine home, as well as a box of papers being removed. In a sign of support, one resident even texted a photo of the raid to Keely Griffin, former TFU CEO.
It's got to feel good to see folks those windbreakers coming out with boxes from a place that you know is a den of iniquity and sin.
A second search warrant was served on a property in Long Lake Township per Grand Traverse County Sheriff Mike Shea. The attorney general also made a public plea for survivors or their families to come forward with information, providing a dedicated phone line, a web submission form, and a direct email, ag-tfuinfo@michigan.gov.
Dog, when they got a report and website for you, things aren't going well for you.
No, I love it. Everybody, if you, if anyone has been affected by them in any way, like, we encourage you to reach out. It can be, you know, you can just send an email if you don't like talking to people, or it can be anonymous. But they records are kept of this shit and helps build a strong case.
It really does help, too, especially folks that have left. And you might think, well, I left and it doesn't really. No, the statute of limitations on this stuff can run back years and years. So information that you have in 2025 of something that happened in 2020 may still be relevant. Like, you should absolutely reach out to the attorney general.
Definitely. Jeff and Shalia made no public comment after the raid, a sharp contrast to their previous aggressive online defenses. Online survivor communities, however, lit up with activity, with many former members sharing their support for the investigation and expressing hope for justice. Ex-members who had previously remained silent for fear of retaliation are hopeful now that law enforcement is involved. As of July 2025, no criminal charges have been announced, but the investigation is active and ongoing. What began with public allegations in late 2023 has now evolved into full-scale governmental scrutiny, marking a new chapter in the Twin Flames universe saga. Anyone with information about potential criminal conduct regarding Twin Flames universe or their members are encouraged to contact the Michigan Attorney General's office and may do so anonymously. We've included a link to the form in the episode description. So what do we think?
I mean, it is the first step in what I think will be a long road toward justice, but it's way further than we've been before.
Yeah, it's nice to see things like this happen, especially when you've been following a story like this for a long time. And so many people are screaming like, these people are fraudsters. They're dangerous. Like, they're abusive. We're suffering. And then law enforcement starts to catch up and do something about it. It's very satisfying.
It's so satisfying. And I hope, too, any law enforcement and the enforcement actions here help legislators craft legislation that better addresses the issues that are going on in this case that also we saw going on in Profundity Yours, that also we saw going on in Love Has Won, that also we saw in Teal Swan, where you have these unlicensed, uneducated people that are just peddling their own whatnots like on the internet to the detriment of the public. And like, we have to ask ourselves as we are, you, me and everybody listening are the public. And it's like, do we want to allow where it's not more criminally punished for people to do this? And so hopefully not. And hopefully this is a good sign. Like, you can't like fucking stop putting yourself out as a fake psychologist on the internet. Fucking quit.
Yeah. And it is a bummer that oftentimes with things like this, we don't see movement until it's financial based, which is a huge bummer, because long before they were scamming people out of thousands of dollars, they were fucking with their brains and telling them stuff. And like the gender stuff, that's more harmful than any amount of money you may lose. So I hope that the focus with law enforcement isn't solely financial, and that these two dipshits are held accountable for the other crimes they've committed.
Yeah, for like everything they've done and all the various harms. And yeah, and if perhaps there's not a law that applies to the harms, that is when you have like the Twin Flames law, where we have this new thing and you can't
The Twin Flames law. Hey, Jeff, you want to go down in history and leave your mark? I think having a law named after you is a great way to do that.
It's like the Perry Act or whatever in California, because Katy Perry and the nuns, it's like, we got to have an act named after you. And it's like, it's not usually a good thing. It's like I used to say, I don't ever want me or my clients to be the names at the top of the casebook in the law school book, because that means you've had a long road to get to the top of that page. So you're right, though. And it sucks, because oftentimes the financial part is what will ensnare people, because it's just easier to track. It's just easier to, you know, do forensic accounting and see where every dollar went and what taxes were paid, what weren't, like statements you might have made that would no longer qualify your church for tax exempt status, stuff like that is probably easier to prove.
Also, I think people care more about that.
Oh, about the financial part?
Yeah. More than mental health?
Yeah. I would say like the government.
Yeah, the government and law enforcement. Like, they care about money. But, you know, if they cared a ton about people's mental health, then mental health services in America would look a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, truly, you ask, like, what do we value? And it's like, we value mental health. I don't think you do. It's not covered by most insurance, and it's not covered by, like, publicly by government insurance. So I don't think you do. But no, you're right. Like, the focus is more on, like, but that's our money as the government, and you owe it to us, which it's much like Al Capone. Like, he killed a bunch of people or had a bunch of people killed, like, by his word, and he didn't go to jail for murder. He went to jail for tax evasion. So it's the classic Al Capone thing. So maybe they'll get hemmed up on that. It sounds like the IRS was not there, but that it was the Department of Labor, which tells me there's something to do with unpaid labor. But that could very well also tie hand in hand with an IRS. Like, essentially, they wait. Like, the IRS waits until the Labor Department's done. The OIG of the Labor Department goes, oh, it was this many employees for this many years. Therefore, now we can do the math. It was this many dollars that weren't paid. Then the IRS can come in and go, how many dollars weren't paid? Okay, well, let's do our math. And now you go to jail for that.
Yeah, I hope when you're in your cell one day that, and you're thinking about all the materialistic things you own, that, was it worth it?
Was it worth it? I mean, if y'all are confused about what's fitting to happen, go watch episode one of Schitt's Creek. It's very similar. So I hope you have
way less funny.
And I hope you have a town somewhere.
way less good looking.
I hope you have a town somewhere to go live in, because I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Shit's going to get taken. So we'll keep y'all updated. And thank you. Shout out to everybody in Traverse City area in Michigan who, like, the second this news broke, we found out from you in our Instagram DM. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you good so much. Out. Yeah, check out the previous three-parter we did on this, and then head on over to YouTube and watch us cry with laughter over that W5 interview. It's also just good great journalism. She's a great interviewer. She does not get rattled. It's it's like a master class in how to interview people that are narcissists and don't want to give up information.
We are an Avery. in this house, we stan Avery Haines.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials, so you can join for free for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around at a tier, though, we highly recommend an annual membership because you get one whole month for free when you sign up for an annual instead of month to month. And when you do sign up, what do you get?
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole World Wide Web.
And this last Sunday Scaries proved it. Thank you all. We needed y'all. We needed to laugh.
We did. And speaking of Sunday Scaries, when
oh shit,
I feel like I should move this up to talk about this up here. That's just a personal note for me that I'll remember when I listen back to this. Move up, Christy, where we talk about Sunday Scaries. But just signing up as a free member on Patreon, mm-hmm. it's just your email address. You get access to Sunday Scaries that we do on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. We just do it over there because we have more freedom because YouTube yes. takes down a bunch of stuff. So
thanks a lot, YouTube.
Yeah, you can come over there and get to watch that live with us, watch all the videos. Oh, God. She just remembered a video.
You can come watch Donut Daddy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's my leg.
The amount of times I have thought about that avocado.
That meat.
That it's wild, and your husband's wild for being like
my fucking husband.
Here we go, we're gonna dial this up from a 4 to a 10, but then I you know what, I took it to a 20 with that whole that cherry one.
It was very good. Your comments were very funny. Well, if you want to know what we're talking about, it's 100% free. There's literally no gimmick. It's not a free trial. We just do it because we like to hang out with you, and it's better than YouTube, so come do it on Patreon. Absolutely. For $0.
And you also get monthly audio content sent for being mm-hmm. a free member, and there's a whole backlog of free member stuff. It's very conveniently packaged, so you can just go to it, and there's dozens of hours, I would say, of
we've been doing
free stuff.
We've been doing monthly bonus content for like at least over a year, so there's at least a dozen, if not more.
Yeah.
Head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We love those 5 stars, y'all, because you know, if Jeff and Shalaya get wind of this,
we're going down.
It's 1-star city.
The TFU.
So we need your 5-star reviews and for you to like and subscribe our YouTube channel.
Please. It's just out of spite. Come on, guys.
Also on our website, you can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists, and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025, November 3rd through 7th. Leaving out of Fort Lauderdale, y'all. It's going to be us. Who else is going
to
be there?
It's going to be Henry and Ed from Last Podcast Side Stories. It's going to be True Crime Campfire, Scared to Death, all of you guys hanging out on a boat, the ultimate true crime festival at sea. There's mm-hmm. live podcast recordings, fun events. There's a pool takeover, a karaoke thing going on. We got we already said we're gonna be taking over the Lido deck at some point and like throwing it down and
you just get to
stuff.
Vacation with us. Yeah. Like never again will we probably be able to vacation with this many listeners at one time. So this is like a one-time thing, you know?
It's quite literally a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go to the Bermuda Triangle with the two of us aboard a ship. And
Paris and Tommy will be there as well.
Even better. The gents are on deck. So we'll see you there. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to get your fan code or grab the link on our website under live shows. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on YouTube, guys, at Sinisterhood Podcast on YouTube.
I don't know why I'm doing a thumbs up. What does that even mean?
I'm increasing.
That's my increase. So, but I also right look now, like I'm jerking something off with my thumb up.
You got to.
That's how I jerk off. Don't make fun of me.
Me too.
Oh, here comes the tail.
The tiger tail's still here. This is why you should be watching on YouTube, is because if you're listening, you don't know what I'm jerking off right now, except for Christy said it. But it is indeed.
It is a tiger tail.
You get to see, like, look, this is just a random thing. I'm not going to say out loud what it is. If you want to see what it is,
go on YouTube. Are we just going to show random things here?
Put an object on screen. Look at this object. It's so fun.
Look at
this. I wish it was real. Look at it. Oh, prepare yourself.
Hell yeah. But what does it look like?
You get to
because
see it
happen. So tiny and cute that you need to come see what it looks like.
Go see the tiny gavel at Sinisterhood Podcast on YouTube. Have your friends and family subscribe.
Send out an email to everyone in your contact list and be like, y'all, I haven't talked to you in years and you have no idea who these bitches are. But if you could do me a solid, just out of spite, because we all love spite when it comes to Jeff and Shalaya.
Yeah, that's what this is. Literally, the 30,000 number in my head is just a spite number to get more followers on YouTube than Jeff and Shalaya. So once we get that, we'll have a pizza party on YouTube when we get to 30,000.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
If you're looking for a unique or personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on any accomplishment, we'd love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Not only is it incredibly thoughtful, but it is perfect when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping, or you're looking for a last minute gift, or a gift that you're not sure if they already have it. Cameos are 100% always unique. Even if they already have a cameo from us, every single one is different. So you can guarantee the gift they don't already have. cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Claire,
Colette Palermo,
Rachel,
Tiffany Andrews,
Jennifer Salagi,
Ashlyn Cooper,
Doris Weil,
Chloe,
Sarah Talkie Vieira,
KG,
Carrie,
and Jen Avidia. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate you. We hope you pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.